The lush tropical nation of Papua New Guinea sits on an island just north of Australia. Traditions there have been developed over thousands of years. But today, the ancient practice of sorcery is becoming a trigger for a modern kind of violence. Public mob-style attacks against suspected practitioners have drawn the concern of locals, aid groups, and the government. Duri Buscarin went to the scene of one attack in the country's mountainous highlands region to try and understand the root causes of the violence.
The people who live on the mountain call it the land where the sky falls down. Up in the eastern highlands, the mist rolls down the slopes and over the pine trees in a way that makes you feel suspended. And it's here where, in a village that overlooks the town of Henganofi, three young men died just after the new year. The clan decided that sorcery was the cause of the deaths, despite a recent typhoid outbreak. Villagers armed with machetes killed the man they believed was responsible and set fire to the houses where his family lived. Alongside an aid worker, I visited members of the victim's family. Dozens of people sheltered in a church near the village for 6 weeks. Jim Maris, the victim's brother, says his infant daughter died there because his wife couldn't get to a hospital.
The baby was sick. She couldn't come out because of fear of being harmed. Yeah, she stayed at the church and the baby passed away.
Sorcery is an ancient practice here, and many people believe that it has real consequences in the mortal world. But in the last few decades, accused sorcerers have been tortured and killed, sometimes publicly, and in places where these types of attacks didn't happen in the past. Somu Nosi is a social researcher in the regional capital, Goroka. She's also worked as an interpreter for NPR.
We have this negative impression from these people that are murderers or, you know, killers.
As she sips a cup of tea in a grocery store deli, she explains how in Tokpisin, a colonial language based on English and German, her grandfather who practiced sorcery would be known as a poison man. But in her tribe's local language, the term is Tusaman, closer to his role as a village healer.
Let's say Tusaman means herbs, to make it all right.
She says Tusaman were also known for their ability to kill their enemies with poisonous plants or spiritual powers.
Aside from having being a warrior, you know, carrying bows and arrows, this was one of the another skill added on to what the community had. But to us, it was a skill, our position, our prized, you know, speciality.
This specialty gave the tribe something that others feared, and that fear protected them. When Australian colonists and missionaries arrived at the start of the 20th century, they pressed local residents to abandon their beliefs. Sorcery was considered the work of the devil and punishable with imprisonment. People converted to Christianity. Today, it's hard to know how many deaths are tied to sorcery attacks. There's no official count. Some estimates are as high as 500 murders a year. Others are closer to 30. Papua New Guinea's government has committed to a national action plan to prevent the violence. But the why of the issue, why an accusation like this can be used to justify mob violence, that's what still nags at Monica Paulos. I meet her in a white-walled conference room at the Tribal Foundation in Port Moresby.
What do I say? Good morning, good health.
She's a sweet, round-faced grandmother from Chimbu province, just west of Henganofi. She's also an aid worker who's faced down mobs to rescue sorcery victims. Paulos spends a lot of time interviewing the accusers. In her area, they mostly target women and children.
They accuse women because they want the land. If the husband dies and if the children are very small, they accuse the woman so that they will get the land, the coffee garden.
Other times, she says, an attack is a retaliation for something else. In the case of the village near Henganofi, Jim Maris says he thinks his brother was targeted because of his recent success growing coffee. He says it was jealousy that prompted the attack. When the brothers started selling raw coffee beans in town, they made good money.
They work hard and they get money and they try to improve their lives. When their life has improved, then other people, they become jealous and they've attacked them and accused them.
Several months after the attack, police have made no arrests. A women's organization tried to broker a peace deal between the clans, but it was broken a week later. Relatives of the first victim had retaliated by killing two more. For NPR News, I'm Duri Buscarin in Goroka, Papua New Guinea.
Duri Buscarin is NPR's Above the Fray Fellow. It's an international reporting fellowship sponsored by the John Alexander Project.